You're ready to turn to the word of the Lord. I feel I have a word from the Lord for this body today. I want to say what a wonderful Independence Day crowd we have today. I was expecting a much smaller crowd given the holiday season and people traveling. We have people out and people traveling, people with families, all sorts of things going on, but thankful for all of you are here with us today. We'll give the Lord a hand clap of praise for everyone who come out to the house of the Lord today. I commend you for your understanding of what independence truly is. Brother Doug spoke a few moments ago about our independence as a nation. How many know we're a holy nation? Amen. And we have a whole different kind of independence. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for that today. I want you to turn with me this beautiful, let's see, it is noon, so it's afternoon. This afternoon, it's 12:01, as a matter of fact. That means I got exactly 2 hours to preach. Exactly 2 hours. I will not go a minute over. I promise you. I understand. It's clear in my mind today that I'm the only thing standing between Brother Bo and his hamburgers on his grill when he gets home, and I will be mindful of that. I'm so thankful for all of you that are here with us today, and I pray and you have a wonderful holiday weekend. We're going to be spending some time with our family. For that, I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for all of you that get to spend time with your family this weekend. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Obadiah. It's not a book that you probably hear people preach out of a lot, but we're gonna trust in the Lord today. As the old saying goes, we ain't scared. We ain't scared. That's what my grandmother used to say. Amen. The book of Obadiah, the first chapter, we're going to read verse 1 through 4, and then we're going to jump down to verse 17. When you get there, shout out amen. If you do not have your Bibles, the words are provided for you on the screen behind me. Obadiah, the first chapter, we're going to be reading verse 1 through 4. Before we jump into this text today, I want to lay a little groundwork. We're reading about Edom. We're reading about Jacob and Israel. We're reading about the descendants of two brothers, Esau and Jacob. When you read of the people called Edom, the Edomites, you're reading of the descendants of Esau. All right? The book of Obadiah, the first chapter, verse 1, the word of the Lord says, the vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Man, I'm going to read that one more time. That's a powerful statement. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou art dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? The Lord will, Edom, the Lord will. Whose habitation is high, and saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Thou that exalt thyself as the eagle, thou shalt set thy nest among the stars. Thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Jump down to verse 17. We read about the descendants of Esau, Edom. Now we're going to read about the descendants of Jacob, the children of Israel. Verse 17 says, but upon Mount Zion, how many know that God always referred to his people as Zion? Amen. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. What a contrast today. Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. Praise God. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire. The house of Joseph a flame. And the house of Esau for stubble. They shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. They of the south shall possess the mount of Esau. They of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. The captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. The captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Shepherd, shall possess the cities of the south, and saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. My God, somebody didn't hear me today. I'm going to say it one more time. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's today. Hallelujah. How many know the Lord's going to pour out his blessings upon those who notice their need of him and act upon it? The Lord's going to pour out his blessings upon them. With the help of the Lord today and the help of this body, I want to preach. Noticing the need. Noticing the need. I want you to lay your Bibles down in your seat. I want you to lift your praise unto the King today. How many is thankful for his presence in this place? Come on. How many want worship to be our agenda today? Come on. Oh, Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you in this house today. Come on, you got a need. I got a need. Everybody's got a need. It's time to notice the need today. It's time to notice the need today. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. The Lord is going to pour out his blessings upon those who notice the need for him. The Lord bless you. You may be seated today. I want to speak for a few moments on this beautiful Independence Day on noticing the need. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day to all of you and all of your families. What a wonderful time. And as we sit through fireworks shows this weekend and we overindulge at cookouts and pies and potato chips and dip, all of these things. Amen. As we celebrate our independence from physical tyrants, I'm thankful today that I'm not too shallow to be thankful for my independence from spiritual tyrants. Praise the Lord. Listen, we enjoy a physical, for the time being, we are enjoying a physical independence. Amen. But I challenge you today to open your mind and look around you. That independence is being threatened. But let me tell you something. They can take away at some point in time our physical independence, but they won't ever take away our spiritual independence. Because our help comes from the Lord. We'll lift our eyes unto the hills. Whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. How many know we have a spiritual independence today? And I think we ought to give the Lord a hand clap of praise all over this house for our independence today. Amen. I'm thankful today for the freedoms we enjoy as a nation, and I'm tremendously thankful for the freedoms we enjoy as the body of Christ. Free from sin, free from bondage, free from depression and anxiety, and all the things that would love to bind the people of God. I'm thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy today. It is nothing less than the hand of God. Amen. And we're thankful for that today. I read a testimony this week I want to share with you about a young lady. And she was writing and penning her testimony. It impacted me. And it made me think about what we have seen time and time and time again. And I want to share that with you for just a moment today. I read a testimony of a young girl who had it all. She had everything she needed. She had loving parents. She had lots of friends. She had nice clothes to wear to school. She had a soft bed to sleep in. She was happy. She was thankful. But she knew, despite all of the things that she had been blessed with, there was still something that was missing in her life. Amen. She sought God at an altar of prayer in a denominational church. She sought God on a weekly basis, and everyone told her, you need to stop worrying about it. You don't have to go to the altar that much. You don't have to go to the altar every week. You have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and everything's going to be all right. You're making it more than it is. But somehow, deep down in her soul, she knew that there had to be more. She knew that that there had to be more. And as the more they told her that she had accepted Jesus, and the more they told her she was fine, the more that she realized she was not fine. She was not fine. She was missing something. There was something absent in her life, and it was the same scenario time and time again, until she reached the age of 16 years old. And she finally found herself hopeless. She found herself restless. She found herself empty on the inside. The week of her 17th birthday, she went out with some friends and she came home drunk. She was quickly grounded by her disappointed parents who had raised her better. A friend invited her that week to the house of God, and her parents being wise enough to agree to let her go. That night on her 17th birthday, she walked through the doors of a small Pentecostal church. The service was like nothing she had never experienced before. Amen. The service was like nothing she had ever seen. There was upbeat music, and there was loud singing and loud preaching, and people were worshiping the God that they served as they stood in His presence. And it was in that wild service. How many know we have some wild services around here? I have some people walk in these doors sometimes and think, Lord, what are they going to think about today? It was in that wild service that she felt that familiar tug that she had felt so many times before, and it led her down to an altar to pray. And as she stood there overwhelmed by the worship surrounding her, she began to seek the Lord. And suddenly somebody grabbed her by her hands and began to raise her hands up into the air. And they started whispering in her ear, just start saying Jesus. So she started saying Jesus, and as she began to repeat the name of Jesus, and as she spoke the name of Jesus time after time, suddenly her speech changed, and suddenly, my God, help me today, she began to speak in a heavenly language. Come on, somebody. She was amazed. She was dumbfounded. Someone, she was having a hard time believing what had just happened to her. This is what was missing. This is that. This is what was missing. This is what she had been looking for. She had finally noticed the need. And when she did, God met her need. Praise God. And the Lord filled her with His Spirit at an altar of prayer. Praise the Lord. We all have many needs, church. We have many needs in this life. We all share the same greatest need. Sometimes we cover it up with stuff, but that does not make it go away. Sometimes we dump things on top of it and we stack things on top of it, hoping that it'll go away, but it will never go away. We all have a need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We all have a need to be led by the Spirit of God. We all have a need to be resurrected by the Spirit of God today. Amen. And sometimes that need gets covered up by our own talents. Sometimes that need gets covered up by our own abilities, by our own agendas, by our own wills. The absurd idea that we have it all together. The absurd idea that we can make it on our own. The absurd idea that we don't need Jesus in our life. I come to tell you today, the devil is a liar. There ain't nobody under the sound of my voice that's good enough. There ain't nobody under the sound of my voice that can make it on their own. There ain't nobody talented enough. There ain't nobody pretty enough. There ain't nobody holy enough. There ain't nobody righteous enough. Come on, somebody, we need the Lord in our life. It's time we notice the need. It's time we pay attention. We're nothing without Him, but through Him, we can do all things today. Hallelujah. We have a need today. We have a need today, and it's time that we notice that need. Sometimes this need gets covered up by things in this life and things in this world and friends that we surround ourselves with. I heard a man once describe it as in such a good way and an understandable way. He explained it as if the spirit man was locked in a basement. And at some point in time, you got to open the door and you got to let him out. Because he desires to worship the Lord. But somehow we allow what you feed will live, what you starve will die. And somehow we tend to feed this flesh. And if we would all be honest today and we would all take a survey of our lives, we'll find out that many times we concentrate more on our wants than we do on our needs. Come on, and we got this spirit man locked up in this basement, and we stand on the door, and we don't recognize the need for the Lord in our lives. I come to tell you today, it's time to notice the need. It's time to recognize the need. We have a need today. We need to be led of the Spirit of God. We have a need today. We need to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. We have a need today. It's only the power of God that's going to rise us above our sin today and deliver us from the things that want to destroy us. It's an absurd idea to think that we have it all together. I don't care if you've been in the church all your life. It's an absurd idea to think that you have it all together. It's an absurd idea to think that the devil's going to leave you alone. It's an absurd idea to think that he's not going to find a crack or a cranny or some kind of way he can sneak into your life, sneak into your family, sneak into your finances, sneak into your mind, sneak into your heart, sneak into your marriage, sneak into your children. Don't you think for one second you have it all together? We all share the same need today. We all share the same need today. Esau had this problem. We're reading today in the text about the descendants of Esau, the Edomites. Esau had this problem. He was born of patriarchs. Regardless of the fact, despite being born, being the firstborn of Isaac and Rebekah, despite the fact that he was the grandson of Abraham and Sarah. Come on. Imagine being the grandson of Abraham, father of all living, amen, friend of God. We're talking about his grandson today. He grew up in a wonderful home, tremendous parents, tremendous grandparents. And the fact is, despite all of these things, Esau did not receive the blessing because he did not notice how much he needed God. He didn't notice how much he needed God. You see, along the way, his own talents began to block the door. He was a tremendous hunter. He was skilled in the field. Every time he went out, he got what he was looking for, and he learned to trust in his own abilities. But one day, it didn't turn out that way. One day when he was out in the field and he couldn't find what he was looking to kill, and there was no food to eat. And one day on his way back, he was famished. He was hungered. He was weak. He was tired. He didn't have anything to eat. Amen. One day it didn't go the way that he wanted to go. Amen. And on his way home, he realized that he was hungry and he was famished. And this fact left him open to the deception of Jacob. He got caught up in the moment. He got caught up in the surroundings. He got caught up in what he smelled. He got caught up in his circumstance. He was hungry. He was tired. There was something to eat. All he had to do was give up his birthright. All he had to do was surrender his future. All he had to do was give up the blessings of God. Listen to me today. He did not receive the blessing because he did not notice how much he needed God. And I come to tell you today, there's many people that fill apostolic churches on every Sunday that are going to miss out on the blessing because they truly don't understand how much they need God. They've gotten caught up in becoming professional Pentecostals. They've gotten caught up in regular attendance to church services on Sundays and midweeks. They've gotten caught up that the Lord has blessed them financially and the Lord has given them a good home. They've gotten caught up in their own abilities and their own talents. They've gotten caught up in all of these things, and they've lost the fact that we need to notice the need for God in our lives. Amen. And this is so it was with Esau. He went out that day in the field fully expecting that the man of his talents would find his prey. And he would return home with what he needed. But can I tell you today, he didn't get what he wanted that day. In fact, he lost a whole lot more than he realized he was going to lose. I come to tell you today, if you're not careful, if you're not watchful, if you're not prayerful, you're going to miss heaven. You're going to miss out on being blessed by God. You're going to miss out on being a part of the body of Christ because you're not noticing the need for God in your life. Esau forever missed out on being a part of the family of God. He was plagued by his lack of concern for the things of God. Church, let me tell you something. The things of God better matter more to you than anything else in your life. Let me tell you something, being in right standing with God better mean more to you than anything in your life. It better mean more than that boyfriend, that girlfriend, come on, that cousin, that friend, that whoever it is, that job, come on, that car, that house, whatever it might be, the Lord better mean more to you than anything in your life, or you're in danger of missing out on the things of God because we are negligent concerning the kingdom of God. He got caught up in the moment. The momentary cost him the eternal. My God, it's so sad to watch people who have such a bright future. People, God has every intention of blessing them to settle for the momentary and surrender the eternal. You know, the momentary will cost you the eternal. The momentary will cost you the eternal. Church, don't let the momentary cost you the eternal. He traded his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. He traded his birthright because he was hungry. He was hungry, and his life began to spiral out of control. All of a sudden, he realized he had surrendered it all. He had surrendered it all. A hatred for his brother developed in his heart, and the anger of Esau ate him alive to the point that he sought to kill his very own brother. Amen. This anger ate him alive. Esau would become the father of the Edomites. The Edomites would serve false gods, and they would repeatedly wage war against the children of God. The Edomites, the descendants of Esau, would be eventually destroyed by the Lord. Jacob, in sharp contrast, Jacob, on the other hand, recognized his need for the Lord. Jacob understood that he was nothing without God. Jacob understood that it didn't matter how talented he was. It didn't matter how good looking he was. It didn't matter how strong he was. He had a great need for the Spirit of God in his life. He had a great need for the blessings of God in his life. And he was willing to do whatever he had to do to make sure he received the blessings of God in his life. I come to tell somebody today, you better get it deep down in your spirit. You're willing to do whatever you got to do, when you got to do it, how you got to do it, to make sure you got the blessings of God in your life. Jacob, in sharp contrast to Esau, recognized the need for the Lord in his life. Couldn't make it without him. He couldn't make it without the protection of the Almighty. And even though he had to flee from his brother because his brother was a powerful man and he desired to kill him, even though he had to flee from his brother, it didn't matter. God was with him. God was with him. How many know? Let me tell you something. Nobody ever promised you a bed of roses. Nobody ever promised you that when you give your life to the Lord and when he's in you and you in him, you ain't going to have to go through the valley sometimes. Come on, even though he had to run from his brother and his brother was going to kill him and his brother had the power to kill him, listen, God was with him. God gave him a vision in Bethel of a ladder, Jacob's ladder. Amen. It signifies our worship. The Lord gave Jacob a vision that day. He saw angels ascending up and down the ladder, heaven and back, signifying that our worship will catapult us into the presence of the Lord. There, as we stand in his presence, just like this young girl I told you about a few moments ago, when we get caught up in that worship, when we get caught up in that praise, come on, when we get caught up with that assembly, numbered with the saints of God, worshiping and praising and exalting God, let me tell you something, God can speak into your life. God gave him a vision in Bethel of a ladder, angels ascending up and down Jacob's ladder. Come on, the Lord was telling him, Jacob, no matter what you go through, Jacob, keep worshiping me. Come on, somebody. No matter what you go through, Jacob, keep on praising me. No matter how hard the road gets, Jacob, no matter who turns their back on you, Jacob, no matter what the doctor says, Jacob, no matter if you encounter depression or anxiety, no matter if you get weak, no matter if you file bankruptcy, it don't matter how deep the valley is, Jacob, just keep worshiping me, keep praising me, keep going up and down, keep worshiping me, Jacob, and everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. No matter what you go through, Jacob, just keep worshiping me. Keep praising me. Keep noticing the need for me, Jacob. And everything's going to be all right. Know that I am with you, Jacob. Know that I am with you. Know that wherever you go, I will keep you, Jacob. When you go down in the valley, I'll always bring you back to the promise. Hallelujah. I mean, knows your praise will always precede your promise. You don't get the, see, people got this thing so mixed up. They think that they ask God for what they want. Then God gives it to you, then you praise him for it. That's not the way it works. Your praise precedes your promise. So you ask him for it, then you go ahead and you praise him for it, then he gives it to you. Praise God. Your praise precedes your promise, Jacob. Here's your meme for today. How many's ready for this? Here's your meme. Here's your meme for today. When you have nothing left but God, it's then that you find out that God is more than what you needed. When you have nothing left but God, It's then, it's there in that valley that you realize he's more than what you need. Jacob was alone. Jacob was on the run, but God was with him. Jacob was running from his older brother. Jacob was lonely. Jacob was tired, but God was with him. How many know it is possible to be going through a hard time in life, but God still be with you? It is possible to find yourself in the valley, but God will show up as a lily. It is possible that everything don't have to be perfect all the time to keep walking with God. It is possible that people will turn their back on you and you can still walk with God. It is possible you can get a bad diagnosis and you can still hold on to the hand of God. Amen. It is possible to serve God in the valley today. Jacob was living proof of that. He was alone. He was on the run. But God was with him. God was with him. Then he went to his uncle Laban's house. And his uncle Laban took advantage of him, but God was still with him. He worked all of those years for his wife, and he got crooked. The deceiver got deceived. The supplanter got supplanted. Come on, Jacob, the deceiver was deceived by his own uncle. He got handed a woman that he didn't work for. How many know sometimes life gives you what you don't deserve? But that's no justification for giving up on God. That's no justification for giving up on heaven. That's no justification for stop noticing the need. You still have a need for the Lord in your life. You still have a need for the Lord in your life. Here Jacob was alone. Here Jacob was on the run. Here Jacob was being deceived by his own uncle, having to work many years longer than what he promised just to get what was promised to him. His uncle had taken advantage of him. And finally, the Lord speaks to him and tells him to return home. He says, I'm going to mend things with your brother, and I want you to go back home. And as he returned home, listen, he had a second encounter with God. The first time he had an encounter with God on the way down to Laban's house. Amen. And there, after that encounter with God, and God gave him a vision. And he showed him Jacob's ladder and angels ascending and coming up and down. Amen. In the worship of the Lord. The Bible says that he made a pillow out of stone. And he poured oil upon that rock and he anointed it. And he called that place Bethel, which means the house of God. Which means the house of God. Amen. On his way back home, Jacob had another encounter with God. Amen. And listen, let me tell you about the significance of a second encounter. There's tremendous significance in a second encounter. The first time Jacob had an encounter with God, he called that place Bethel, which means the house of God. When he had a second encounter with God on his way home, he called that place El Bethel, which means the God of the house of God. How many know we don't just need to know the house of God, we need to know the God of the house of God. Hallelujah. We need to know the God of the house of God. And when you walk through the doors of the house of the Lord, the first encounter you have is with the worship. Just like with that young girl we was talking about a few moments ago. The first encounter you have with God is the worship of the living God. The preaching of God's word, which leads you to repentance. But let me tell you something. We can't stop there. We can't be content there. We need another encounter with God. We need a second encounter with God. Let me tell you something, it ain't enough to repent. You got to be baptized in the mighty name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We need another encounter. We need another encounter with God today. I don't want just one encounter. I don't want two encounters. I don't want 10 encounters. I want him to be in me and me to be in him. Amen. And that's the first encounter. We are, listen, it's the preaching of God's word. It's sitting amongst God's people when they're worshiping the Lord and giving him the praise that he deserves. We feel a pricking in our heart. Just like those men did on the day of Pentecost. As Peter got up and he began to preach the word of God, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They stood up. They said, listen, what shall we do to be saved? What shall we do to be saved? I love what Brother Doug said a while ago when he was talking about Independence Day. He said, God has given you salvation freely, but you still got to go through his plan to receive it. Woo, my God. You can't cut out none of the three steps of the plan. You got to repent. You got to be baptized, and you got to receive the Holy Ghost like the Bible says. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. There's significance in a second encounter with God. The first time you walk through the doors of a Pentecostal apostolic church, you feel that presence of the Lord. Those goosebumps will stand up on the back of your neck. You'll realize your problems will become plain. Your brokenness will be laid out before you. You'll see that you're not, your life is not what you thought it was, and you will have an encounter with God. But with your second encounter of God, you get to know the God of the house of God. You see, there's a difference in being caught up in the worship and praise of other people and knowing God for yourself. There's nobody under the sound of my voice that God ever intended for you to just come into this church and get your goosebumps and go home. There's nobody under the sound of my voice that God intended on placing you in a group of people where you just come in and enjoy their praise and their worship. No, God wants you to know him for yourself. You need to know the God of the house of God. The first time Jacob had an encounter with worship and praise, but the second time he had an encounter with God himself. It's in that second encounter that we are truly changed. You see, the first time he was not really changed. In fact, he said these words. He said of Bethel, on his first time when he stopped in Luz and he changed the name, he called that place Bethel. He said of that place, he said, surely, truly, the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. He didn't know God. He didn't know God for himself. He experienced the worship. He saw the vision. He saw angels ascending and descending from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord was telling him, it's your worship and your praise. It's going to get you through your hard times. But the second time, in that second encounter with God, my God, help me preach today. In that second encounter with God. Come on, it takes more than repentance today. It takes more than just hearing the preached word of God today. It takes more than feeling some goosebumps today. You got to act upon your encounter with God. And Jacob got a hold of that angel of the Lord. He said, I'm not going to let go until you bless my soul. I'm not going to let go until you change me. Woo! And he wouldn't let go until his hip was out of socket. And from that day, he was forever changed. We need to be forever changed in the presence of the Lord today. And from that time forward, he walked with a crutch. And his hip was out of socket. He was forever changed. The presence of the Lord, when he's in you and you're in him, you will be forever changed. We need an encounter with God. We need many encounters with God, but we got to be changed by his touch today. We don't just need Bethel. We need El Bethel. We don't just need to know what it feels like to sit in the house of God. We need to know the God of the house of God. This is a personal walk today. This is a personal journey today. We all have the same need. The question is today, are you going to notice that need? We're celebrating our independence in the natural. But I'm not just celebrating our independence in the natural here today. I'm celebrating my independence in the spiritual. I'm celebrating my freedom from darkness. I'm celebrating my freedoms from hell. Come on, I'm celebrating my freedom in Christ Jesus. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Come on, I'm celebrating in the presence of the Lord today. Listen, his first encounter with God, he was not changed, and he admitted that he didn't even know God. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I have not known it. When you make a decision, that one encounter is not enough. When you make a decision, you want your own walk with God and not just enjoy everybody else's. When you make a decision, you want to go to heaven. You don't want to just be amongst the people that are going to heaven. When you make a decision that you need a change in yourself, you're tired of rejoicing at the changes of other people, you need a change in yourself, you'll start desiring to know the God of the house of God. It wasn't until that second encounter that Jacob was truly changed. It wasn't until that second encounter that Jacob, the deceiver, his name was changed to Israel, or Prince of God, Prince with God. Not only did God change him, God changed his name. That's what being buried with him in water baptism does. His name is applied to your life. Come on, as a woman takes her husband's name in holy matrimony, so it is with the body of Christ. When we become the bride of Christ, we get a new name. We get a new name. We get a name that's written down in glory. We get a name that has all power. We get a name that's exalted above every other name. The wonderful name of Jesus today. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't just want one encounter or two encounters or even 10 encounters with God. I want him to be in me. I want him to be in me, and I want to be in him today. It wasn't until the second encounter that Jacob was truly changed. You take on his name in baptism, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you want a new walk, if you want a new journey, if you want a new start, if you want a second chance, baptism in Jesus' name. Repenting of your sins, baptism in Jesus' name, and being filled with the Spirit of God will give you a second chance. Amen. I'm thankful today. Church, we got to realize our desperate need for the Lord. We all share the same need. There are many needs. We could go around this room today and people could tell of their needs and they would all be different. But there's one need we all share. We need the Lord. We need the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. We need the Spirit of the Lord to lead us. Every decision you make, you need the Spirit of the Lord to lead you. I don't care how great it is. I don't care how small it is. You need the Spirit of the Lord to lead you. We have a need today. Listen, we have a need today. Judgment came for Esau. Judgment came for the Edomites. Judgment came for Esau's descendants because he did not notice how much he needed the Lord. Blessings came for Jacob. His name was changed to Israel. His children were blessed. They became the people of God. Blessings came because he recognized and he noticed his need for the Lord. On this Independence Day today, as we thank God for our freedoms we enjoy in this country, do you recognize your need? Stand with me all over this house. Do you notice your need today? It's either a blessing or a curse. There's no other options. You're either going to be blessed by God or you're going to be cursed by God. You're going to be hot or cold. You're going to be in or out. There's no other options. Judgment came for Esau and his descendants. Blessings came for Jacob and his descendants. What's it going to be today, church? Are you going to notice the need? Are you going to realize how desperate you are? How desperately you're in need of him today? Will you recognize your need? It's either a blessing or a curse. Two brothers had the same parents. Two brothers the same grandparents, the same raising, but these two brothers ended up with drastically different results. Drastically different results. What's it going to be, child of God? What's it going to be, sir? What's it going to be, ma'am? Are you going to notice your need for the Lord? Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to keep kicking the can down the street? Are you going to keep hoping it's going to get better? I got news for you. It's not. It's not going to get better until you put it in the hands of the Lord. It's not going to get better. What's it going to be, child of God? Two nations. The only difference between these two men was one noticed the need, the other didn't. One realized how much he needed God, and the other didn't. One realized that serving God was all that mattered. His life in God's hands would make everything okay, and the other didn't. What's it going to be, child of God? We're talking about eternity today. Two nations were in Rebecca's womb. Two nations. They were warring from conception. The Bible says that there was a struggle in her womb. Amen. And the Lord spoke to her and told her, said, there are two nations in your womb. One of them is going to be a wild man. One of them is going to turn from me. The elder shall serve the younger. He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. There's two nations in your womb, Rebecca. One of them is going to love me. One of them is going to serve me. One of them is going to realize that they're nothing without me. But the other one is going to rely on his own abilities. The other one's going to rely on his own talents, his own stature, his own ability to do things for himself. There's two nations in your womb. I come to tell everybody in this room today, you got a war going on inside your mortal body. You got the spirit against the flesh. You got an inner man that desires to serve God, worship Him, exalt Him, adore Him. You got an inner man that wants you to seek God. You got an inner man that recognizes he needs the Lord in his life. And you got another man that's warring against your soul. He wants to do the things of this flesh, the things of this world. What's it going to be, child of God? You going to be a Jacob, or are you going to be an Esau? Are you going to notice your need for God? There were two nations in Rebekah's womb. God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Church, God loves those who recognizes their need for Him. God blesses those that recognize their need of Him. We need the Lord today. We need the Lord. We need the Lord in our relationships, in our finances, in our health. We need the Lord in every aspect of our life today. We need the Lord. He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. God loves those that recognize their need for Him. Church, we have many needs in our life. Many needs. There are people in this church that are struggling financially. There are people in this church that are blessed financially. There are people in this church that are struggling with sickness in their body. There are people in this church that are completely healthy. There are many needs in this church. But I think an honest survey of our lives would reveal many times we're more worried about our wants than we are our needs. So we cover up the need and concentrate on the want. I come to tell you today, it's time to stop covering up the need. You need the Lord more than you realize you need Him. You don't want to be like Esau, who's on his way home from the field, and there's a deceiver waiting for you. You don't want to be at your weakest moment in your life, your most vulnerable moment in your life. Listen, you need to be strong in the Lord while you have a chance. You need to recognize your need for the Lord while you have a chance today. You don't want to be like Jacob on your way home in the moment of weakness, in a moment of famine, in a moment that nothing is going right and the deceiver's waiting for you. Come on, child of God. Notice your need for the Lord today. We need Him. We need Him. None is more important. None deserves more attention than the need for the Lord today. All the needs that are in this church, there is none more important than our need for the Lord. None. None compares. You don't have a greater need in your life today than a need for God to lead you and guide you. One bad decision can drastically change the course of your life. One bad decision can drastically change the course of your life today. Don't forsake, don't ignore the need, the greatest need in your life. Notice the need today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I wonder if there's anybody in this house today that would be like Jacob, that would get out of that seat right now and listen to the voice of the Lord and say, I recognize my need for the Creator in my life. I realize if I keep living my life on my own, I'm just going to continue to mess it up. I need the hand of God in my life today. Come on, child of God, are you going to be a Jacob or are you going to be an Esau today? What's it going to be today? Are you going to recognize your need for the Lord? These altars are open. I'm going to say this before we sing this song. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. You think you got it figured out on your own, but I come to tell you tomorrow's going to reveal that you do not. You think you can handle life on your own. You think you're set financially, physically, relationship-wise. Tomorrow's going to reveal to you that you don't. You can't. You're not. Put your life in His hands today. These altars are open. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Are you going to recognize your need for the Lord today? You need Him. I need Him. We all need Him today. We have the same need that Jacob and Esau had. But Jacob loved God. Jacob needed God. Jacob understood his need for the Lord in his life. But Esau did not. And Esau and all of his descendants were destroyed because he did not recognize the need. These altars are open as we sing this song.